Well, I'd like to begin with a question, which is this. Do we carry in our hearts any negative thoughts or feelings towards other people? Do we have any negative attitudes toward a friend or someone we know? If we do, that will prevent us from rejoicing and rejoicing here at the feast. Our relationship with friends can create great happiness and joy, and that's what God intended. But friends can also hurt us by what they do and by what they say and by how they treat us. When that happens, it is normal to hold a bad attitude or negative feelings towards them. But that only makes matters worse. It makes us more unhappy and will prevent us from rejoicing. So what should we do? What can we do when that happens? The good news is that we have a vitally important key to solve this problem. We will see what the key is from Scripture in just a moment. Now, the title of this message is The Positive Key to Negative Feelings. The Positive Key to Negative Feelings. That's the title. And the purpose is to show how we use that key. We eagerly look forward to the Feast of Tabernacles. It is God's feast. We come here to rejoice before God and to rejoice with each other. That is also a command. The Feast of Tabernacles is the highlight of the year for us. It represents the great time ahead when we will rule over all the earth with Jesus Christ from Jerusalem. We call it the wonderful world tomorrow. That is what we are looking forward to. So we come together to celebrate that great time of peace and joy in advance, before it happens. That's why we are here. We should ask God to pour out His Spirit so that we can rejoice together. So here is the question again. Do we carry in our hearts and minds any negative thoughts or feelings toward another person? If we do, then this message is for us, and I'm including myself. A bad attitude or negative feelings will restrict or prevent us from rejoicing. In the wonderful wisdom of God, He has designed friendships and relationships to be a foundational cause of great happiness and joy. When we connect with each other in a spirit of unity and peace, that makes us feel good. A good attitude allows God's Spirit to flow through us and out from us. But the opposite is also true. If we hold a bad attitude or negative emotions towards another person, that will restrict or prevent God's Spirit flowing through us and out from us. We can carry a bad attitude because of what people have done to us, by what they have said about us, or by the way they have treated us. Perhaps we have relied upon a friend who has let us down. Perhaps someone has said something about us that is untrue and damaged our reputation. So we feel hurt. Perhaps we have been persecuted for doing something that is good. All these things affect us. We may even feel justified to have a negative feeling towards another person because of what they have done. But we must understand that negative feelings and attitudes hold us in bondage. They rob us of true happiness and prevent us rejoicing. The positive key to negative feelings is given by Jesus in Matthew 5. Matthew 5, so I'd like us to go there first. This key shows how we must respond to people who have hurt us. Matthew 5. This key sets us free. It will restore us to love and joy and peace. Let's read it in verse 44. Verse 44, Matthew 5. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. This great key in this verse, the great key in this verse is prayer. Prayer. We must pray for the people who have done wrong to us and hurt us. This key is very effective because we involve God, and His Spirit will be working with us. We will see in just a moment a remarkable example of this prayer in the Old Testament. A man who prayed for his friends. But before we go there, let's understand how this works. As we pray, attitudes and negative feelings will melt away. They will go. Instead, we will have love and forgiveness for the person we are praying for. This is achieved by God's Spirit flowing through us. We know that God's Spirit flows like water. Let's imagine we are watering our garden with a plastic pipe. If someone ties a knot in the plastic pipe, the knot will restrict or prevent the water from flowing. In the same way, we can restrict or stop the flow of God's Spirit through us by a bad attitude and negative feelings. I have here a pipe. I will demonstrate. You see, in England we have very deep pockets. Oh yeah, that's the end. I was wondering when the end was coming. Now I tie a knot, you see, in this pipe. Like that. And that will restrict the flow of water. And it may even stop the flow altogether if it's really tight. A really tight knot is a really bad attitude. But the attitude is up here. You see the analogy? Right, move on. Let's look at a remarkable example in the Old Testament. Can you think of anyone who had a bad attitude towards his friends because of what they said about him? Well, let's go to the book of Job. The book of Job. We remember that God allowed Satan to afflict Job with painful boils. But Job had three friends who heard of his distress and came to comfort him. Job 13. Let's go there next. Job 13. But instead of being a comfort to Job, they began to criticize and find fault. They did not understand why Job was being afflicted, and they made false accusations against him. Let's notice how Job responded to these friends. Job 13, verse 4. Now here's Job speaking to his friends. But you, forgers of lies, you are all worthless physicians. Oh, that you would be silent. It would be your wisdom. Clearly, Job is not happy with his friends. They made him feel worse rather than better. They added to his misery. We can see that he was in a really bad attitude towards them. During this trial, Job came to see his self-righteousness. God was bringing Job to repentance, just as he brings us to repentance. But Job's real problem was not understood by his friends. Have we ever had friends who give us advice and tell us what to do without understanding the problem? That can be very annoying. And Job was very annoyed with his friends. Eventually, God intervenes. Job comes to repentance, and his friends depart to go home. But the story doesn't end there. Let's go to Job 42. Job 42. God is not happy with Job's friends. And we see that God tells them to return to Job with an offering. He is commanded, they are commanded to return to Job and give an offering. Now let's read verse 8, Job 42 and verse 8. Now this is God speaking to Job's friends. Verse 8. Now therefore, take for yourselves seven bulls, seven rams, go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job. The offering that was brought to Job by his friends was, in effect, an apology. They had to acknowledge that God had accepted Job. But notice something else important in verse 8. We read, my servant Job shall pray for you. Notice that. My servant Job shall pray for you. So that is what Job had to do. He had to pray for his friends who had hurt him. That was not an easy thing for Job to do, but he had to do it. He had to do it. Job had to get rid of his bad attitude towards his friends, his three friends, who had hurt him. Job had to undo the knot in his mind. You see, he had to undo the knot in his mind through prayer, through praying for his friends. Job was now a converted man. God was with him. Praying for his friends was for Job's benefit. God's Spirit could now flow through him and out from him with love and forgiveness for his friends. Now he could experience real happiness and joy. But that is not the end of the story. Let's read verse 10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now we see that God restores everything to Job, what he lost, and gave him twice as much as he had before. But notice that God blessed Job after he prayed for his friends. That's important. This is not easy to do, but Job had to do it, and so must we. Question. Does God wait for us to pray for our friends before he blesses us? It would seem that he does. And if someone is an enemy, if we have an enemy, the same thing applies. We pray for them as well. So in conclusion, when we water our garden with a plastic pipe, we must undo the knot to allow the water to flow freely. And so it is with a bad attitude. We must undo the knot in our mind. We do not want God to withhold or restrict his Spirit from flowing through us. When we pray for our friends with love and forgiveness, we undo that knot in our mind, so God's Spirit will flow with no restriction. That's a great key. That's what Job had to do, and that's what we must do. The result will be blessings from God, of love, joy, and peace in our hearts here at the feast. Remember also that God blessed Job with many physical things after he prayed for his friends.